Part 3. The $6,300-a-year museum of things we forgot we owned. Throw away, give away, keep, recycle. These four words were the judge, jury, and executioner for every relic we owned. Our storage unit was a burden of $6,300 a year for a 10x20 money pit filled with memories. That sweatshirt, full of stories but never meant to be worn again, certainly deserved the 2 or 3 minutes I took to decide its fate. Unfortunately, we had thousands of these decisions to make. So, off it goes to the giveaway pile with a dash of regret and a smidge of betrayal. This led to a series of tiny emotional negotiations. Every item seemed like a small argument between sentimentality and sense. Feng Shui teaches that removing the unused from your life makes room for something shiny and new. These items sat in that rented tomb for almost 3 years, and we easily survived without them. I think of past generations who went down the well-trodden path of accumulating belongings, only for them to be dealt with by surviving children. That is decidedly not our destiny. I can only hope that when we finally shuffle off this mortal coil, the cleaning lady will have to pack our belongings into only one sturdy cardboard box. We are an unmoored ship, currently settled on foreign shores, drinking from the keg of calm adventure. The familiarity of one's former place of work. Diane and I worked for the same company for a combined 85 years. No, 85 is not a typo. After retiring and living in Thailand for 2.5 years, returning to walk down those familiar halls and offices, then getting hugs from the people we worked with was certainly a warm and welcome feeling. Time had left its mark, of course. Hair had silvered, yet, strangely, many colleagues seemed more defined, as if their arms hardened by holding back the years. We spent decades in the trenches, socked our money away, dreamed up a hopeful plan for freedom, then executed it. We aren't just retirees. I am just hoping we are the blueprint for a successful escape for others. Strategically, we now have a place for recycling and garbage as we continue to empty that rented box that held our former lives. Our social calendar is full of coffee dates and lunches with friends we worked with for decades. I was asked by a good friend who also lives in Thailand, "Is there anything that makes you think you should return to Seattle?" My knee-jerk reaction was, "Oh no." But as I chat with these old friends we left behind, I realize the city may no longer hold us. It's these people who were the heart of our old lives. Part 4. Seattle. I don't remember the Emerald City being so cold. Not metaphorically, do not worry. I was not going down some diatribe about the personality of the city I grew up in. I mean, literally, I'm freezing my ass off here. We left Chiang Mai at 101 degrees, only to arrive at the famous misty, cold, miserable northwest weather. I suspect my brittle old bones won't thaw until we return to the north of Thailand. Yes, I've changed. I was that northwest sweated, layered, Costco white sock wearing Seattleite. It took only 30 months for me to morph into what I am today. In Thailand, for 2.5 years, I did not don socks, nor drive a car, and was shocked and had to wear a long sleeve shirt when it dropped all the way down to 60 degrees at sunrise for my habitual morning walk. The high today in Seattle was 43 degrees. Because of this, I am wearing every single article of clothing I brought, and now look like a disheveled Michelin man. There is a part of Seattle that has greatly improved, though maybe this could be compared to being proud of a serial killer only killing one or two people. But I have noticed the lack of blue tarps along Interstate 5. One could surmise this is nothing more than cleaning up before a date with the 2026 FIFA World Cup. But having small villages of people living in tents along the main freeway in our Emerald City should never have occurred. Providing proper services and simply enforcing the law seems simple, but that conversation has come and gone. For now, though, bravo. Jet lag. Okay, I'm dying here. Some people are susceptible to getting colds. Others are allergic to animal dander, while some even have the paralyzing terror of astrophobia. Go ahead, look it up. What is my kryptonite? Jet lag. Did we cross over the Pacific Ocean eastbound for a total of 14 time zones, known as the most grueling gauntlet of air travel known to humanity? Yes. But man, we've been here for more than 18 days now, and I'm still feeling this combination of light flu, occasional vertigo, and plain feeling yucky. I'm still getting the work done, still moving boxes, and still going through belongings, but I'm not alone in this. We are both suffering. Diane is doing better, I think. She's like that. Not me. I think the end is near. I don't know where the area known as Circadia is, nor am I familiar with their rhythms, but I hear they have something to do with this. Also, to save you time, astrophobia is the fear of thunder and lightning. You are welcome. We have times of acceptable energy, but there is no support group for jet lag. The most people talk about this is a dismissive nod. Oh yeah, I had a little of that once. Which is infuriating. The more I think about this, the more I think of the lack of empathy one receives when one is in the throes of a cold. Yes, I'm talking about a man cold. You know what I'm talking about. You are still expected to show up to work when all I want is to lie on the couch and moan at anyone who will listen. When I don't have the energy to even get a glass of water, I'll just lay there, pouting and being thirsty. I think I'm going to die. That's where the half of society that doesn't get man colds is helpful. You know, get the water for you and listen to your whining. You don't know how loved that makes us feel. Apologies for the digression. I should get back to the story.